This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome to Beyond the Minbar podcast. I am your host inshallah Muhammad Basaeed and this evening we'll be talking about social media and the family. And I am blessed to be joined with Sheikh Sajid Umar who will be helping me with this discussion. Sheikh, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. How you been?
Allah's most kind. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. I'm well. I'm very well. Alhamdulillah. It's been a while since we've seen you.
Wallahi, it has. Allahul Musta'an. It's been too long. It's been too long. I feel an iman boost being with you all here.
Oh, mashallah. Allah hafadhak. Alhamdulillah. So, Sheikh, we want to talk about social media because before we were discussing that during the pandemic, people had a lot of time at home, you know, and they had time to be with their devices. So, when it comes to social media, right, what are the harms and what are the benefits of it?
Excellent. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. I mean, this is an important topic. And, you know, the last 2 years, I think the most famous word associated with these 2 years is unprecedented. Everything was unprecedented, right? Yeah. And extremes were definitely hit. We know of certain platforms such as movie platforms, they sort of recorded record hours of binge watching.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah. Social media recorded also record levels of interaction.
Yeah.
If you just count the likes, the comments, interactions, and so on and so forth, all the statistics show that it went into overdrive. It was high.
Mm-hmm.
There was concern about it pre-COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But also during COVID, things went into overdrive. So again, unprecedented behavior was seen in people's interaction.
Yeah.
Of course, lockdowns is something nobody ever expected. But you mentioned benefits and harms, and I guess there was a benefit in that when people were locked away, social media provided an avenue for them to connect with people beloved to them. And that would be a positive if no doubt it's done in a way that constitutes moves of productivity, you know, that which is productive, and also that which of course conforms to the guidance of the Sharia. But on the flip side, if what constitutes norms of productivity, that framework, you know, your interactions on social media or your participation on social media doesn't fit within that framework, or it goes against the guidance of the Sharia, then no doubt you enter the realm of harm. So there were benefits and there were harms. And obviously success is for the one who finds that middle way.
100% And I think when it does come to social media, it was a matter we were speaking about before, is being able to control yourself, you know, in terms of its usage and also in terms of the time that you're giving it. And you mentioned before that, before we started recording, that when it came to people getting access to Islamic speakers and whatnot, there was a benefit in that as well, right?
That too was from the benefits of social media, yes. And, you know, before social media, your access to a scholar, your access to a student of knowledge was when that scholar or student of knowledge was amidst your you know, your physical environment. He was at the masjid. He was at an Islamic program. And even then, there was no guarantee that you'd get your questions asked and you get the opportunity to speak to the sheikh or to the student of knowledge. And the social media did, you know, make people have access to sources of knowledge, if those sources of knowledge were on social media, and also they maintained their presence online in that they were checking the inboxes and checking their questions and so on and so forth. I mean, pre-social media, there was emails. But again, if you didn't know the sheikh's email address, which is you know, it wasn't like advertised. Where would you advertise it before social media, right?
Unless
it was announced at the masjid or at a public event, then again, you know, you wouldn't even be able to get your Islamic needs catered for, because again, without that key, without that email address, you had no contact. With social media, you can search people up, right? And then these social media platforms provide inboxes, and through those inboxes, you can interact and so on and so forth. So that definitely is a massive benefits. So being able to keep up with the family activities, being able to maintain family relations, with people that you found it difficult to keep up those relationships with pre social media, no doubt, these positives came to light with its advent.
Mashallah, and it's a good thing that you mentioned about keeping family relations, you know, and alhamdulillah, social media is, I don't think it's something that's hard to use for anyone, and whether you're living in the West or you're living in the East, you know, and I know that...
Irrespective of age as well.
Exactly. Right? Yeah,
irrespective
mashallah.
Irrespective
of age. Mashallah, that's very true.
And that's one of the reasons why it's flourished and it's absorbed so many people.
Yeah.
I mean, if you talk about the place that has the biggest population of people today, it's not social media.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, it's not China. It's social media.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not China.
Yeah,
it's social media, right?
Yeah.
And that said, then it created opportunity as well in terms of presenting the message of Islam and presenting the truth, because it was the norm of the messengers to go where the people were. So they would go to the marketplaces, right?
Yeah.
So no doubt, if you are propagating Islam and being a means for the people in spreading that which is good and that which is true and the ways of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you had to, you need to have a place or a space on social media.
Jazakallah khair. Jazakallah khair. I want to talk about now what we want to kind of focus on, and that is this social media, right, in a family household. Okay, in a family household, what role does it play? Now, the way I want to do it is if we can talk about, firstly, the parents, okay? But before them actually perhaps being parents, let's talk about the spouses. Now, spouses having social media, sometimes, you know, people even meet through social media and then become, you know, get married through these applications or maybe these pages, you know, and they set it up.
I met her on Facebook and I met him on Twitter.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And I don't even know, you know, anyone can be anyone on social media.
True.
You know,
these are from the harms, what you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Look, we spoke about the benefits. We said that it allowed people to interact with each other. It helped them to maintain family relations. It helped them to have access to a source of knowledge. It helped the people who are sources of knowledge spread the wonderful teachings of Islam. I mean, we can add to that. SubhanAllah, how many people were accessed, and through that access, they even accepted Islam? How many people became interested in Islam because they followed, a Muslim who was posting positive messages and positive images and so on and so forth? So all those benefits are there. And I think it's good that we discuss the benefits to create balance before we discuss what we say the negative impact. And in terms of, you know, social media and the family and this whole idea of social media and the spouses, then in today's day and age, especially in my experience, I think for more times than is acceptable, it's discussed with a negative light. It's always social media is causing this problem to happen in the marriage. Social media is causing him to behave like this. Social media is causing her to become or to behave like this. We rarely hear, at least in my experience, and I can be proven wrong, we rarely hear that through social media, you know, my husband became a model husband, or my wife became a model wife, or the spousal relationship became a model one which is closer to the sunnah and so on and so forth. And that's why this discussion is always held with in negative, altitudes. Allahumma musta'an. I mean, I use this term, no pun intended, but the level or the number of marriages going wrong because of incorrect social media usage between the spouses is something that really needs to be addressed. I know this is behind the mimbar. Or in front of the mimbar.
Beyond the mimbar.
Beyond the mimbar, right? But it also has to be addressed from the mimbar.
100%. MashaAllah. And it is, okay, let's talk about can we say before meeting, before becoming a husband and wife, people using social media to find a spouse.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example, inshallah ta'ala. A brother, perhaps he's trying to spread some khair.
Hmm.
You know, his page is da'wah related only. And maybe a female shows an interest, and then, you know, private messages, salamu alaikum, fulan, are you, you know, because I've seen this on people's profiles where they'll show, they have to write in their bios, married.
Like single or married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you'll see the ring there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Right. So is it like that, that it's that bad, you know? Again, going back to the self-control thing.
Yeah.
You know, and then people being, you were mentioning before we were recording about people being what they're showing to be, but they're not really like that.
Yeah. I mean, look, social media is a means.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a means to an end.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever we use it, and this is my advice to the youth, we need to understand what end are we trying to achieve from the means.
Mm-hmm.
Right? As Muslims, our mandate is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We were not created except to worship Him. And by worship, I don't just mean the salah and the zakah and the hajj and the fasting and the pilgrimage. I mean making Allah your purpose.
Yeah.
Because when you make Him your purpose subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what you do becomes a means of worship. It becomes an act of worship, not a means of worship. It becomes an act of worship. Right? So, why are you on social media? Why have you opened that account? What do you intend to get from it? And I sort of framed this discussion with this introduction, because at the end of the day, we have to keep on asking ourselves that if I've spent X amount of time on social media, right, what return on quote-unquote investment or equity has it created in terms of my worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or assisting me in some matter of the akhirah?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, getting married, no doubt, is from the guidance of Islam, from the teachings of Islam. Islam encourages it. And if someone is using social media as a means to getting married, then in and of itself, there's no problem here, because the intention is noble.
Yeah.
And social media can be a means.
Yeah.
But the question is how you go about doing it.
Mm.
And also the question is, does the platform facilitate and assist you going about that process the right way?
SubhanAllah.
Right? Because shaitan obviously is lurking everywhere.
No.
And he's strategizing on how to turn positives into negatives, how to turn noble intentions into intentions that are manifested in an incorrect way,
mm-hmm.
in a bad way. And we know from an Islamic perspective, we don't have this principle of the ends justify the means.
Mm-hmm.
You know, al-ghayat tubarrir al-wasa'il is not an Islamic mandate.
Mm-hmm.
The ends justify the means is not an Islamic mandate. From an Islamic perspective, in fact, the principles as we see coined by the fuqaha is that يعني لا يتوصل إلى الحلال عن طريق الحرام. Right, you don't voyage to a halal end through a haram process,
yeah.
right? And with marriage, if you want the fruits to be halal, then the seeds need to be halal.
Yeah.
So again, and you highlighted a good point about self-discipline. How many people have the self-discipline, have the discipline, can manage the strategic attacks of shaitan on social media? Because again, you're trying to keep yourself grounded, you're trying to keep yourself on the straight and narrow, but the app, the program, the site, the website, the program is designed to take you left, to take you right. Right? There's algorithms recommending things for you.
Yeah.
Now, okay, it's not based on a void. Obviously, it's trying to understand your usage. But then again, you have people on that platform that are not upon the same ideals as you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That become introduced to you through these platforms. And it is possible, and we have seen real time cases and real life cases where through these algorithms and somebody's innocence, should we say, people have taken the wrong direction, only to realize when it's too late. So finding a spouse on social media is a means.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
However, is it the right means?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which app? Mm-hmm. Which program?
Yeah.
Again, how much of a means do you make it? Earlier we were having this discussion, and I mentioned to you that subhanAllah, how many times has it sort of become manifest that a person has a profile image, but they're not that person, right? No, honestly, You know, and I'm not just talking about, you know, a person who looks a particular way and then he puts an image of somebody else and then people become friends with them because they think they look like that.
Yeah.
Right. And this is also from the ills of our time because we are very personality orientated people.
We've not even mentioned filters as well.
There's apps which came up with the filters, right? Yeah. And these filters do certain things to your image. Yeah. But I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about a person who is a male and puts out an image of a female and messages as if they're a female. And then they join a page and this person thinks that he's interacting with the female, but there's not even a female on the other side. So we've seen these harms. So with time, we need to then ask ourselves, is social media a means? So at the beginning, as an idea, right? Yeah. It is a means as anything is a means. Yeah. But then over time, when we look at its manifestation as a reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a means? Or should it be a means? It can be a means, but should it be a means?
Mm-hmm.
I would argue against that. I would argue strongly against that.
When it comes
or if it became a sort of trigger,
okay.
Right, the trigger whereby an introduction happened to somebody,
uh-huh.
Right? The process shouldn't progress on social media. It should become something physical and something real immediately.
Yeah.
Whereby the guidance of Islam takes over,
yeah.
And the person meets the wali,
yeah.
the guardian of the female,
yeah.
And Islam's guidance takes over the process. Otherwise, you're heading for heartbreak, and unfortunately, we've seen too many cases.
Yes, definitely. People are getting fooled, you know, by these profiles or by people that are behind these devices, and they don't even know who they are.
It's an unregulated platform.
Yeah,
it's an unregulated platform, and it's about common sense. I mean, when it comes to the monetary affairs in our Sharia, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala doesn't just stipulate having reached the age of puberty.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He stipulates a sound mind when it comes to financial practice.
SubhanAllah.
Before the money should be handed over mm-hmm. to a person. Could mm-hmm. be their money through mm-hmm. inheritance, so on and so forth, a gift or whatever it is. But a guardian should not hand that money over until he has tested them, they've reached the age of puberty, and they have what is called rushd.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They have common sense. They have sound financial practices, that which the majority of educated, intelligent people consider sound, right? Then you pass on the money. Why? The Sharia wants to protect a circumstance and situation where this resource becomes lost prematurely.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So what about finding your spouse?
SubhanAllah.
Right?
SubhanAllah. Yeah, I mean, 100% correct. You know, this is, it's rather unfortunate what happens to people. But Allahul Musta'an, I want to talk about now, what about you have found a spouse?
Mm.
We're talking about now the married couples that are out there who are on social media. You know, this one has an account, she has an account, he has an account. Would you advise that they know each other's logging details perhaps?
It's
about helping each other, right? You and your spouse should be aiding each other in goodness. So how do you do that on social media?
Yeah, look, if aiding each other comes from having access to each other's accounts, then the Sharia would not have an objection
mm-hmm.
To that. In fact, it might even be an obligation, right? Because remember, spouses are also du'at to each other. Right, we are people who invite towards good. We forbid evil. We believe in Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. And then when you spouses, you are also du'at to one another. You do this to each other and for each other.
Yeah.
Right, you try and keep each other on the straight and narrow because you want a marriage that is for a lifetime, not just for life.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so you both want to die upon righteousness and piety, so that inshallah in the hereafter you can be together as well in paradise.
Yeah.
So again. If it's a means towards achieving that, then why not? Especially if both parties have nothing to hide. And it's just a deterrent. It's a mechanism it's a deterrent mechanism. But unfortunately today, subhanAllah, we see shaytan step into the space and cause spouses to open ghost accounts, right? Meaning, so they hand over the password to their main account, to their spouse, and then they have a ghost account through which they're carrying out the interaction. So again, because the platforms are not designed It's not designed, you know, to keep you productive in life and keep and help you be the best person you can be. It's designed to keep you on the platform.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This whole idea of dopamine and how certain apps have been designed so that you flick and you keep flicking and you scroll and you keep scrolling because you just want this dopamine kick. Then the next thing you watch, it gives you the kick. The next thing you watch, it gives you a kick.
Mm.
And dopamine is, subhanAllah, a creation from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
yeah,
that he's placed in the mind that should only be released after hard work, after effort.
Yeah.
It's a gratification process and a gratification component,
mm-hmm,
right? You feel it and you appreciate it, and it helps you getting back to doing hard work rather than fearing hard work. But if you can shortwire the brain, right, whereby you can create dopamine release events,
mm-hmm,
whenever you want it, and this is what happens. And again, as I said, these apps are not designed to help you be the best person you can be, help you be the best husband you can be, help you be the best wife you can be. It's designed to keep you on the app, and that's going to be at the expense of you being the best that you can be towards your spouse, right? And
that's what I do, man.
But look, at the end of the day, they didn't ever. I mean, if we just want to, if we just want to bring focus to or be fair,
yeah,
they never ever advertised the app or the platform as something that will help you be a better version of you. In reality,
yeah,
right. They can give you filters, which you feel makes me a better version of me, but that's a fake version of you.
Yeah.
But in reality, they never said that.
Yeah.
In reality, they are working behind the scenes to design features to keep you hooked onto their app. Again, it's a case of market share as well.
Yeah. Right?
And then we have a case of the right apps and the wrong apps. And you're talking about, should we have access to each other's accounts? I think it should be a case whereby we even discuss, listen, which apps, you being my husband,
yeah,
there's if you have to be on social media, let's discuss which apps you can be on.
Mm.
There's certain apps you shouldn't be on.
Yeah.
Right? Because those apps were designed to achieve a greater level of facade and corruption than others.
Mm, right?
So it's not just about should we have access to each other's account. And the answer to that question is, from a Sharia perspective, there's no objection if it's a means of maintaining the Islamic decor, meaning people are upon the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through having this extra diligence in play. Mm-hmm. But then again, there's workarounds. As I said, people create ghost accounts.
Yeah.
But on top of that, before saying I want access to your account, the discussion should even be, listen, we married now, which social media platform should we get off?
Yeah, definitely. You know, a lot can be said, you know, especially when it comes to spouses. And what you mentioned, it made me think about the best version of quote unquote fake version of yourself has also tended to fake version of love and affection and being a strong couple, you know, being a strong husband and wife and having a strong relationship,
yeah,
to the point where people feel the need to show that. Now, which I move on to my next question is about showing affection to each other on social media, you know, to maybe encourage others to follow, you know, quote unquote, sunnah, get married and whatever. Does that become tainted? You know,
I mean, look, from an Islamic perspective, the private matters between a husband and wife should be behind closed doors. It shouldn't be advertised. If you want to encourage people to do good, then, you know, teach them the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the best example. People don't need us. As an example, and especially since we've discovered in this day and age that we have couples who present themselves on social media like they're couples from paradise, but behind the camera, when the cameras are switched off, they have some of the worst akhlaq with each other, and this is by their own admission, right? So we don't need to live our lives on social media, and this is one of the harms of social media generally, aside of the whole framework of marriage and the spousal relationship. Because this whole idea of, this post syndrome. And by post, I don't mean the after syndrome. I mean living my life thinking about how I can make that a post event. I can post about it. I need to grab the image because I need to make a post about this. And we start living our lives as if we're living for other people.
Yeah.
And living for the attention spans of other people, as if we're living a Hollywood production or a Bollywood production or some wood production. Right? I mean, a movie is done in it's acting.
Yeah,
it's not real.
It's not real.
Those actors, they have real lives that they stepped away from for the sake of creating this fake reality for you to be entertained. Right? And that's a job. That's a profession. That's what they do. Now, if we start living our real lives like this,
we're not going to be happy because we're not really...
No, ultimately, we're going to create for ourselves and people do an unsustainable circumstance and situation. Life is not lived like that.
Yeah,
we are living here to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? Building our way to success in the hereafter. This life is not about, it's not about strawberries and cream, we're in the UK now, right?
Yeah.
Right? This life gives you days that are for you and days that are against you. That is the reality of life. How is it possible that you have a social media page and everything on there is all strawberries and cream, if I can use the term?
Mm-hmm.
It's not real. It's fake.
Yeah.
Right? It's not sustainable as well.
Yeah.
Right? It's not sustainable because when you live your life like this, where do you get time to deal with the real issues that you're going through? Right?
100%.
So this whole post syndrome, we need to think about it. We need to be aware of it. We need to audit ourselves with regards to it, aside of the whole marriage thing.
Yeah.
But if you are a married couple, again, to have this post syndrome where everything we do as a couple we need to post online, also can have effects. We know from negative effects, it does have negative effects in terms of sometimes it impacts negatively other people's marriages. That people think you're living a perfect marriage, and then we find other people using you as a yardstick, or your marriage as a yardstick to sort of rule that their marriage isn't that great. So it has this negative impact, unintended impact, right? Yeah. But also we know, brothers, to our brothers and sisters who are listening in, and to my dear brother, we also know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us about the evil eye, and that it's real.
Yeah.
Right? And in a narration which some scholars of hadith have considered acceptable, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Istaghinu ala qada'i hawa'ijikum bil kitman." Assist yourself in the things that you do by keeping it a secret. Right? فَإِنَّ لِكُلِّ ذِي نِعْمَةٍ مَنْ يَحْصُدُ. That indeed for every person who has a blessing is someone else who can be jealous of that blessing.
Yeah.
And the evil eye is not just spread through people being jealous of you. It could be them just looking at you with the eye of awe, void of attaching your blessing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the devils use that as a means to attack you, and that this blessing that you put out becomes a means of sadness and a means of distress and so on and so forth, especially for those who don't look after their morning and evening adhkar and their adhkar after salah and so on and so forth.
Right?
So there's a principle in Islam, which says, دَرْءُ الْمَفْسَدَ مُقَدَّمٌ عَلَى جَلْبِ الْمَصْلَحَ. The prevention of a harm takes precedence over the attainment of a benefit. That if you have a circumstance that has benefits, but it has more harms, then the Sharia says, do everything to prevent the harms from coming to be, even if it means leaving that thing and it means you losing out the benefits.
Mm.
Right? And I would even argue, and Allah forgive me if I'm wrong, that you don't have to be on social media. And one of the best things you could do as a couple is just close all your social media accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It will bring you closer together. Now, how many times because of social media, she feels neglected, he feels neglected? How many times because of social media, she feels that he's not doing enough, he feels that she isn't doing enough? How many times because of social media, we're not even recognizing the blessings between us as spouses and as a couple because we went on a holiday, but they went on another holiday, and that holiday was better than our holiday? It's true.
100%.
How many times on social media do we start creating excess pressure on one of the spouses because we want a lifestyle that other people are living that we can't afford?
Long right? Time, yeah.
So with all these harms, whatever benefits you can raise, you could say, I have access to the Sheikh. Listen, I think you can get access to the Sheikh in other ways. Today's day and age. Get access to the Sheikh through someone else's social media account. Close yours down and focus on your marriage. It brings you closer together. And I've tried this with couples. Right? Those who are sincere, They shut their pages down, and 3 months later, subhanAllah, you see a transformed marriage. They start noticing each other. They start talking to each other. It's talking to each other, not at each other. Sometimes, subhanAllah, when before they did it, they're on the table talking to each other while staring at their phones. They're talking at each other, not to each other. Right? So, should you portray your marriage relationship on social media? No. In fact, you should just close your social media down.
SubhanAllah. I'm listening to you. I'm shaking my head. Your points, they hit home, because this thing has become so much a part of our life. It's like second nature that when I come home and I see everyone, I find how everyone is doing in the house. And then I also find out how everyone else is doing on my devices. And it can be very problematic, which leads me to...
No, but also from an Islamic perspective, just following on to that point. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he raised the ummah to be concerned about that which concerns them, that which is important to them, that which matters to them, right? He didn't raise us to be people who always have to peek into other people's lives, and this is from the side effects of social media. Should we not call it a side effect? It's from the diseases of social media. Where you have this innate internal desire to have peak performance. Not peak performance, that peak or that you're thinking about where you operate at your optimum. The
optimum, yeah.
I'm talking about the peak, where you're peaking. You have to peek into people's lives. Right? Yeah. You have to peek into what he's doing and peek into what she's doing.
Yeah.
And and this is what happens. I know some people, subhanAllah, they will... They keep checking. Did a reply come? Did a reply come? Refreshing. Or for example, they post something and then they want to see how many likes they get. But did she like it particularly? Did he like it particularly? And then they have the sickness of refreshing, and then checking who liked. She didn't keep on refreshing. SubhanAllah. I mean, what is this?
Yeah.
I mean, surely common sense should tell you that you have a problem.
Yeah.
If this is how you're running your life, you have a problem.
Yeah.
And then, we can, I mean, there's so much to talk about. There's this whole issue of having your self's worth defined by how people relate to your posts. And this has an impact, because sometimes a person gets their self's worth from social media. So then they discount the sincere feedback that they're getting from the people who are physically with them, who know them. Who know them in and out.
Yeah.
They're giving them feedback, and they say, "Well, you people are just people of negativity, and you criticize," and then and they justify that behavior because of all the thumbs up and the likes, and the shares, and the hearts that they get on social media. So again, the harms are many. The harms are many. If we bring this discussion to the family, I believe that goodness and benefit is in just shutting these accounts down.
You mentioned something, you just reminded me now about the likes and the shares. Someone being praised on social media, you were saying earlier before we started conversating about this topic, people being praised by other people who may be nobodies, who, like you say, have ghost accounts. And then they actually live off that praise. That praise matters more to them than perhaps praise from their wife or from their mother or father.
This is it. You become a phony.
A phony.
Not phone, your phone.
Yeah, yeah.
But a phony.
A phony, yeah.
Through your phone, you became a phony.
Yeah.
Yeah? You actually start seeing yourself as somebody who you're not. You're a fake. But you don't even know it. You don't even know it, right? And look, I don't mean to sound destructive and in a doomsday mode, but I mean, this topic is an amana. It's an amana because you've moved it into the family unit and the spouses. And Allah says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. Allah says, this marriage is a sign from the signs of Allah that He exists and He's the only one worthy of worship. Right, so I'm not trying to be negative, but I'm trying to be real here.
Yeah.
right? Is social media helping your marriage be one, which is a sign from the signs of Allah, that through your marriage you recognize Allah as one, and that He's the only one who deserves to be worshipped, and through your marriage people understand Tawheed, that you understand Tawheed, that you recognize each other as a blessing upon each other from Rabbul Alameen, from the Lord of the Worlds, or not? That is the reality.
Yeah.
Right. And if this platforms or these platforms and this phenomenon is causing people to through marriage to build their hellfire instead of their paradise, right? Then we just got to discuss it, you know, and be real with the discussion.
Yeah, definitely. Let's take it now a step further.
Mm.
You know, if we're saying this, Sheikh, about spouses. What is the what can be said about children?
Mm.
You know, should children be even exposed to social media? Should children, should we even have an age where we say, okay, now I believe that our children can look, I almost said experiment, subhanallah, but experience social media.
You know, again, I don't mean to sound destructive or in doomsday mode. I personally think we need to educate our children about the harms of social media. I think social media has been around a long time,
yeah,
with tangible results that we shouldn't ignore, right? There's data, there's real-time data, and real-time data switches on the lights. If we're not switching on the lights with that data, then what are we doing? I personally think they should be educated about the harms of social media and that they shouldn't be on social media before the age of 18. And 18 is a marker. They shouldn't be on social media before they have shown in practice their ability to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
That they've developed within themselves this idea of willpower and this idea of self-discipline.
Mm-hmm.
That they can use something upon a framework approved by the Sharia. That they have the ability to get off the app, right? They have the ability to know which apps to get onto. That it won't be that I give them a phone and they're going to be on certain apps that they shouldn't be on, that even adults shouldn't be on. Muslim adults shouldn't be on, yeah. Right? So personally, this is my view. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save our children.
Ameen.
You know, we're all raising children. Allah help us with them. But personally, I feel that no, they should not be introduced. I mean, they should be introduced in terms of the idea. Because I also believe in this day and age, if you don't teach your children, somebody else will. Their mind will not remain uninformed.
Mm-hmm.
So teach them about it. Tell them that this is this app. This is what it does. These are its harms. This is this app. This is what it does. This is what it. These are its harms. This is why people get onto them. These are the harms of what happens or what has been confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
These are events that have happened, negative events that have happened because of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then also build them a vision. Help them understand the world they wish to see the day they die.
Mm.
And then tie the whole social media phenomenon to that vision and see whether it's compatible or incompatible. Make them feel it in a tangible way in some capacity themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the best thing you can do. Mm. Then no doubt it's about a lot of dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking tawfiq from Allah, because at the end, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. All guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we know of prophets who had children who did some pretty wrong things.
Yeah.
We know about the son of Nuh alayhi salam. We know of the children of Yaqub alayhi salam.
Yeah.
But the point is, we need to do our bit and put our trust in Allah and make dua to Allah to shower His guidance and His protection and His mercy. We need to close the doors. We need to create preventative measures. Now, I'm not saying leave them uninformed. No, inform them so that you kill the curiosity.
Yeah.
Because if you don't tell them about it and their friends talk about it at school, the curious mind is going to kick in, and it's human nature, and they're going to find out themselves, especially if you are giving them access to Google, right? And then they'll experiment it again behind your back, like we spoke about some couples who have these behind-the-back accounts or ghost accounts through which they continue their lives. Before it was openly, now it's secretly, you know, because they're trying to manage the situation. They will manage the situation.
Yeah.
You know, kids are far more sophisticated than we were.
Yeah.
You know, and when we were small, our parents used to say, you guys are far more sophisticated than when we were small. You know, you guys do things that we couldn't do when we were kids. We'd never get away with it.
Yeah.
So, you know, children today do get away with a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are going to give them a device, give it to them the way it's supposed to be given to them. Know that you will answer to Allah for your action giving them that device. And so you don't, you know, some people say, no, but Sheikh, we need to contact them. Well, give them what they call a dumb phone. If a smartphone is not that smart, then give them the dumb phone that's really smart. Right? The dumb phone that can't add these apps onto it. Yeah. They still exist. You get battery life of about 2 weeks as well. Right? Yeah. Give them that phone. That's the smart choice. Yes. Sometimes the smart choice is the dumb choice. Yeah. Right? So Allah knows best. Allah knows best. But again, just to reiterate, my view is, you know, before they show credible signs of being diligent, and I would put a marker before the age of 18, do not hand them, do not support their desire to get onto social media, and educate them. Again, educate them. Some parents, they have an extreme. It is an extreme, whereby you physically run the home, you physically run the process. Everything has to go through checks and balances, right? But then you don't educate people as to why. It's all about what. Do this, don't do that, right? And then you leave the child curious, right? And then when the doors are open, or you know what happens. It's like when lockdown stopped and when lockdowns were lifted, everybody was out, right? Yeah. Just so. So it's important to educate. The Quran was revealed with Iqra, which means to read, meaning educate. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent as an educator, as he said. And educate people. Educate your children. They have the greatest right to your education. No. Don't leave them to the television to educate them.
Yeah, definitely. I think another thing, so this is maybe a two-part question, is as well as educating, while we're educating and we're setting these, we help them understand, and we are setting that, and we're doing it, an example needs to come from us, because I find that when children are told something, it's different from when they see it being done. So if you're telling, you're not allowed to be on this until you're 18 or whatever, or have you.
I don't think you need to say until you're 18.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I'm saying, like,
to express that you don't support the idea of them being on it.
But if you're on it, then, you know, what does that what does that tell the child?
100%, 100%. You know, this whole concept of do as I do, don't do as I say, don't do as I do, quite frankly, if I can use colloquial English, it doesn't fly. And that's not how we roll.
Yeah.
Right? We've got to be a bit colloquial for our young brothers behind the camera.
So what is...
The point is, you got to lead by example. Again, it's the sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led by example. Lead by example. If you see that you have a child that will not navigate you instructing him to do something and you doing something else, then walk the talk. Again, if the harms beat the positives, leave the positives and focus on ensuring that the harms don't materialize or come to be.
Yeah.
Right? So if you say by leaving social media I will lose XYZ, then lose it for the sake of the greater good. The greater good. If the harms outweigh the benefits, then discount those benefits. If the harms outweigh the benefits, discount those benefits. Don't say because of this benefit. This benefit means nothing in light of those harms.
Yeah.
It's not from common sense as well. Aside of it being a Sharia principle, Allah gave us a mind, He gave us fitrah, and He revealed the Sharia, right? Yeah. All these things in their purest state are in conformity.
Yeah.
If your fitrah is pure and the revelation is authentic, you'll never find a contradiction. Right, and that's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sometimes would tell his Sahaba, "Istafti qalbak, ask your heart, because the light of a believer guides." Right, so it's from common sense, it's from the guidance of iman, that if the harms outweigh the benefits, you discount the benefits and ensure that those harms don't materialize. Right, now it could be that it's a work benefit that you want, then have a work phone, and do your business at work. Right, but don't bring it into the home. When you're at home, let your children see that you're with them. And again, you know, this whole idea of the parents on social media, the spouses on social media. When you have children and your children find you available but not available, it also has an impact on the overall tarbiyah. Aside of the whole social media discussion, even just how they're brought up, the manners that they learn. Because children are imitative by nature. They are. They imitate the environments.
Yeah.
Right? And they're learning how to interact with other people. And they're learning that interaction from the closest people to them, the parents. And sometimes you see this on the day of Eid. You go and every child is sitting on their phone. And then the child who doesn't have a phone, it becomes a fitna for him because he goes, I had such a boring day because you guys gave me the dumb phone. They all had the smartphones and they were on their apps and on the, and I've seen this firsthand.
Yeah.
Right. And I would take it further and say, you know what? You know, the family unit as a whole, even with the extended family, need to come together and agree on certain, on the framework.
Yeah.
Of how they're going to raise their children with regards to these mobile devices and with regards to social media. Because yeah. you want to create a circumstance and situation where all the cousins are aligned.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be like I go out of the home, I see something else, and in the home, am I living on Mars?
No. Yes. You know, I'm thinking maybe people may say, look, this is not ideal. You know, to do this, to not be on social media, or to have minimum time on social media because of many times we find out things through social media that the news doesn't tell us. But even then, you know, what about being misinformed? So what kind of...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, honestly, I mean, what's your view about that mubarrir, about that reason? Is that a reason to be on social media that no. I'll find out the news before... Find out that news from the person who's on social media.
Mm.
But also, whilst you're doing it, encourage them to get off.
Mm.
Right? If social media is becoming a means for it, it's because too many people are on it. And too many people are encouraging it. Firstly, social media isn't a news reference. It isn't. How many things get forwarded to us on WhatsApp, for example?
Yeah.
Right? I wanted to avoid mentioning names, but anyway, you got all the apps behind us, right? Yeah. How many things come to you on WhatsApp and it's totally wrong?
Yeah.
It has no basis whatsoever.
Yeah.
Right? Or it's a misinterpretation of events.
Yeah.
Right? But you know what? Everyone was forwarding it, so I forwarded it. Right? It's like, for example, in one country, when the COVID pandemic happened, they were making people wash their feet before entering the business, the workplace, the shop, or you know. So I asked them, why are you washing feet? They go, everyone, we saw everyone making people wash feet, so we also said, I just wash feet. You get what I'm saying? You just, the blind following the blind.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to get Islamic knowledge, there's a way to get it. Yeah. If you want to get the news, there's a way to get it. That's it. Right? If you want to survey or opinion, there's a way to get it. Right, and again, it's a means to an end. If you're going there to survey, then utilize it just for that, and that's a work product, that's a work process. It doesn't have to be in your home. Allocate time for it, do it there and then, and get out of it. And if you don't have the discipline, and the Prophet said, "Rahimallahu imran arafa qadra nafsi," may Allah have mercy on a person who knows their abilities, who they are and who they're not, what they can manage and what they can't. If you are not that person, get some delegate, get someone else who is that person to run the social media gig, if I can use again colloquial English.
Yeah.
Right, get them to go on, do what's needed, and feed you the results.
Mm.
So we should differentiate between a reason and an excuse. What you just shared, that people do this and they say that, is not a reason. It is a feeble excuse, and it doesn't justify being on there given the harms cited. I mean, I'd even go to an extent, even with Islamic knowledge.
Right? I was going to say,
everything is being posted on there. Everything is being pasted on there. And there's certain things that are okay, general reminders, that which concerns all Muslims. You know, using social media can be a good platform because that's where the people are and you get the message out. But there's certain things that are specialized. Certain specialized matters of theology, especially if it's it's from the polemical realm of discussion. You know, scholars have differed on the matter. And then we're using social media to broadcast this.
Mm.
Right? Some say, and the reason for it is because there's people who I don't have access to, and through using social media, we'll get access to them and we'll help them and so on and so forth. Where's the guarantee in that?
Mm.
Right? And over time, you've seen the harms of doing so.
Yeah.
Right? And then you're trying to justify those harms based on a tentative benefit. You don't even know if it's getting to the people that you claim are out there and they need it and you don't have access to them and so on and so forth. Again, how is this from fiqh? How is this from true understanding? How is this from wisdom?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, wisdom is doing the right thing in the right way at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And having the willpower and discipline to maintain it.
SubhanAllah. What about iman? People who get quote unquote iman boosters, you know, through social media.
Yeah, that's from the benefits of social media. But then again, I'm asking, what's the benefit of the iman boost when then there's an iman drop? With the next app that you went into. Allah. So you know you went, mashallah, four wheel drive, first gear into Facebook, and then you reversed into Instagram after that.
With a tuk tuk,
right? Yeah. And then you know you're seeing sisters. You're seeing females that are not dressed appropriately. They, from an Islamic perspective, you are supposed to lower your gaze, and you're not lowering your gaze. What is the benefit of the iman boost? Again, you know, we shouldn't. We should call us. You know, I'm from Africa. You from Africa.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We have a saying.
Yeah.
Call a spade, not a big spoon.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's call it for what it is.
Yeah.
And if you want an iman boost again, there's a place to get it. I'm not saying social media doesn't give you it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying it is there. But again, you need to weigh the pros and the cons here.
Yeah.
You need to really understand, did you go for the iman boost and then spend 1 hour doing something else, half an hour doing something else? Right? Yeah. And because of that, you read less Quran that day. Because of that, you rushed your salah that day. You could ask yourself real questions.
Yeah.
Right? Did you go for the iman boost and then you ended up spending an hour flicking through this news feed and that news feed, and as a result, you didn't manage the home with ihsan for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If you're doing it for Allah, do it with excellence.
Mm.
Right? So again, you know, if someone wants to bring up all these excuses, not reasons, I'll never call them a reason. Except for good reason. But if someone wants to bring up these excuses, then be sincere in auditing yourself and you know, be real. Be real. Be true. Be sincere in what you're saying and what you're doing and auditing that process.
Yeah.
Really audit it and be honest with yourself, because you have to be your best friend, not your worst enemy.
Mm.
Right? You can only be your best friend if you call yourself out for who you are, if you call it for what it is. Nobody knows that nobody goes to the doctor if they don't know that they're sick, right? And if you keep making excuses for your lack of productivity, then you're not going to sort it out. You're not going to fix it up, right? Yeah. The marriage is not going to get better. Your parental process isn't going to get better, right?
Yeah.
A husband not appreciating his wife because he's looking at other people's wives, that's not going to be solved. Vice versa, the wife not appreciating the hours that the husband is putting in, that's never going to be appreciated if she's always looking at what other people's husbands are doing for their spouses, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, let's if we are going to try and look for every loophole to justify our presence on these platforms, then the least, the minimum that you owe yourself is to be brutally honest in your self-audit.
Mm. Because, I mean, jazakallah khair. I mean, I really appreciate everything that you said. You know, it really puts things into perspective, because, you know, we live in a time where everything is moving so fast and everything has to get to you as fast as possible. You know,
it's Insta.
Yeah, that's it.
Fast food.
Yeah, fast food.
Fast communication.
Yeah.
Well, divorces happened because I sent her a message. She didn't reply. I said, brother, but maybe it wasn't delivered. No, there was two ticks.
Mm.
Or maybe she didn't read it. No, there were two blue ticks. So I know she read it. Right? So she's disrespecting.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's also not responding. He has two blue ticks.
Yeah.
And so he's lying to me. He's not telling me really where he was. He was, you know.
Yeah.
So Allahumma stan, the Insta, you were talking about Insta, the Insta age.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I mean, because that it's so fast that we actually don't have, you know, a moment to just sit and ponder and think and do a self-reflection and say to yourself, do I really need to be doing this? Do I really need to be on here? You know, and that's, I think, something that we need to ask ourselves when we are thinking about going on social media or we have social media accounts, you know. And
well, as Umar said, hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasabu.
Naam.
You know, take account of yourself before it's taken, before Allah takes account of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Audit your books before Allah audits them for you.
Subhanallah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weigh your deeds before they are weighed for you.
No.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, the litmus test for me is, and I help, I this is what I tell people to do, especially people who are, doubting what's being said, that look, if you were told that tomorrow you are going to die, would you be on social media the way you are, the way you are already on social media on that day? You could say, no, I'll go on, Sheikh, to write, please forgive me. Okay, that's fine, right? But you're not writing that today.
No.
If you were going to die tomorrow, would you be on social media as you are today? And answer that. That's the litmus test, right? If it's another thing I share with people. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was around and he said, give me your phone, would you be ready to give him your phone? Would you be ready for him to click your Facebook icon and see what's happening there? Click your Twitter icon. Would you be ready to let him see that you're on Snapchat in the first place? Should you even be on Snapchat? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What happened to Snapchat? These apps that are similar. And if you are not ready, are you ready for him to listen to your ringtone? Are you ready for him to see the way you speak on WhatsApp with each other, the language that you use, right? The people that you speak to, the images that you share. Are you ready for him to give him access to that, to your phone? If not, then, you know, be real with yourself. You owe yourself that.
Yeah,
you know, even the discussion that we're having, it's not for the benefit of it's for the benefit of ourselves, no doubt. As a reminder, we're not perfect, but what I mean is, it's not to put anyone down.
Yeah.
We are trying. The message is, guys, we are the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We collectively carry his legacy. Yeah, we collectively carry his legacy. This legacy that he received from the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam before him, the greatest legacy the world has ever seen. After him, no prophet came. This legacy stopped being transferred from the shoulders of one man to another man. But rather, it was transferred from the shoulders of one man to the collective shoulders of an entire ummah. If you are sitting on social media the way you are right now, are you doing justice to the portion of the legacy of Muhammad ibn Abdullah that you carry on your shoulders? Ask yourself the question. If it's yes, continue. If it's no, trim the fat. Get out. Shut it down. You don't need it. Right? It's not going to help you. You're heading for a grave. You're heading for a meeting with the angel of death. Be real with yourself. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not going to ask us for our phones because he's passed away. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ. Muhammad was nothing besides a messenger. Before him, messages came and went. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is حَيَّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتْ. He is the ever-living that never dies. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the omniscient, al-alim, al-basir, witnesses, he sees all. Al-shaheed, the universal witness. Al-raqib, the universal observer. Subhanallah. As-Sami', he listens, he hears everything. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? He's watching you. He's observing you. He's witnessing you. It's as if you are handing your phone to Allah and letting him see what you're doing. Right? So, you know, in the sense of being real, as I said, we don't want to come with a doomsday kind of construct here or a negative sort of paradigm, but in the spirit of being real, the harms seem very clearly to outweigh the benefits.
Yeah.
And in terms of the family structure, if we don't deal with this topic with tight controls, I don't see it, you know, building marriages and helping us build children. Upon the mandate of us being collective carriers of the legacy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being part of an ummah that was sent to give and not to take.
Subhanallah. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. It's been real. this conversation, alhamdulillah. I hope the viewers benefit as well. You know, it is a matter of really asking yourself these questions that we've been put forth today. And if there's anything else you want to add, Sheikh, inshallah, any last advice, anything that a person, you know, walk away from this podcast can go away and say, you know what, I want to implement that.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you would like to add,
inshallah? Barakallahu feek. I mean, given that, our podcast topic today is about social media and the family, I just want to say to our brothers and sisters in Islam, those who are getting married, follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When it comes to getting married, choose your spouses upon the guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then after marriage, be there for each other. You know, help each other become a better human being, closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't be suspicious of each other, and don't allow each other to become suspicious of each other, and build your marriages to a level whereby you live with each other upon the platform of responsibility. And it's not just about rights. Sometimes it might be your right to have an account on a particular social media application. But if you know your spouse doesn't like it, then be responsible. Responsibly leave that right. Mm. Responsibly leave that right. See the bigger picture, right? See the bigger picture. And don't follow the trend. Set the trend. You know, build a marriage that will be a trend for others to see in the real world. You don't need to build that marriage to be seen on social media, but make it a marriage that is famous with the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? It's not about making your marriage famous on social media with the people. Be famous with the angels. Be famous, make your marriage famous with the angels. Be parents who are famous with the angels, because you are famous with the angels when you're famous with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if Allah loves you, He calls Jibreel and He commands Jibreel to love you. And when Jibreel goes through the heavens, the angels ask him, what did Allah command you? He says, He commanded me. He said He loved so and so and commanded me to love him. So the angels say, we will also love him, until love for you transcends the heavens and becomes so overwhelming that it settles in the hearts of people on earth. And that's true fame, brothers and sisters in Islam, where you're famous not just for life, but a lifetime. And لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. In your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best example. You don't need to get the example from people who are portraying their marriages on social media, even if they be people of knowledge. Follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everything you need, brothers and sisters in Islam, is there in his sunnah. He's the best example. And we need to strive for excellence, because again, as Muslims, we are husbands for the sake of Allah, we are wives for the sake of Allah, we are parents for the sake of Allah. And if you are doing it for the sake of Allah, then there's only one way to do it, upon the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus we said, and we signed that contract, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, La ilaha illallah, I live for one Allah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, upon the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the advice I can share with our viewers.
Jazakallah khair. It's been an absolute pleasure and honor to have you here and to discuss this topic with yourself. I highly appreciate it. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I ask Allah to accept it from yourself. And inshallah, everyone who is watching, including myself, I know that I have benefited, alhamdulillah. And we'll leave it at that.
Allah yubarik. The honor is mine, Allah. Jazakumullahu khairan. And ask Allah to accept from us.
Ameen.
And to make these words a means of transformation in our lives and the lives of those who watch this podcast,
Ameen.
Inshallah.
Ameen, ameen.
Beyond the minbar.
Sah. Beyond the minbar, na'am. Inshallah, we'll end it there. Alhamdulillah, I hope everyone has benefited. Inshallah, until the next episode. I've been Muhammad Basaid with Sheikh Sajid Umar here discussing social media and the family. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفر الله وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.